a special guest with me this morning. And I'll tell you something right now. Len Fazio, he's been with me for a long, long time. Len Fazano, been with me for a long time. Len, good morning, good morning. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am. Brad, how are you doing this morning?
Okay, well, how are you doing? I know that you weren't feeling that great, but you're good enough to come with us this morning, and I thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to talk to you.
You know, this story that was in the Waterbury Republican American, a letter to the editor about a gentleman who left Connecticut. And what is the full story here? I understand 49 years having experienced the repercussions, he says, of Governor Malloy. I know that you knew about this and know about it, and I'm so happy that you wanted to come on and tell us just what was happening.
Well, you know, we hear whenever we talk about, we Republicans talk about the fact, and even some conservative Democrats talk about the fact that people are leaving this state because of the policies by Governor Malloy and the majority Democrats over the years. You know, they talk about the fact that we had Republican governors, but the legislature was controlled by almost supermajority in some of those years by Democrats who drove the agenda. And there's only so much a governor can do. The governor cannot pass a budget. It takes a legislature. So the policies that have been enacted over the past 25, 30 years by Democrats have culminated in people leaving the state. And this individual lived in Connecticut, felt it was too expensive. A hard move, but said, look, I had to make it. Went to Massachusetts, stayed a little while, and realized that Massachusetts, that we used to call Taxachusetts, and we used to make fun of it back then, Taxachusetts was a place that you could live, work, and it was less expensive than living in Connecticut. And, you know, his idea was to write and say, look, I'm telling you that Connecticut's going the wrong direction. I moved out, and this better be a lesson learned, that I feel I could have a better life in Massachusetts than I can in Connecticut because it costs less, which is, you know, it's only a short time ago when we used to laugh and joke and make up the name Taxachusetts. And yet,
I remember well
getting the attention. Good.
You know, when you stop to think about this, Senator, and this is not the first time I hear it. Many people hear it. But everybody says they've got an idea. How do we straighten it out? How do we straighten it out so that everybody can feel like they are in Connecticut like it used to be?
And the answer is we started with a bipartisan budget. We took a small step, because Republicans were so close in the House and tied in the Senate, and we're able to say, you know what, we're going to put a constitutional spending cap in, and we got that done. We're going to put a bonding cap in, and we got that done. We're going to put a, we'll call a volatility cap, so when we have extra money, we don't spend it. It goes into the rainy day fund so that we can save it and then pay down debt. We have to set a plan and chart a course that reduces taxes, bring businesses back. It's mostly sending a message. You know, as I said before on your show, GE left. And, you know, Ned Lamont said, I met with GE, with leaders of the House, leaders of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, legislative leaders. I never met with Ned Lamont on GE ever. And I talked to Themis Clarence, the House Minority Leader. She never met with GE and Lamont at the same time. So I'm not exactly sure what Mr. Lamont's talking about there. But anyway, we met with GE. GE said, when you come out with this budget, this was in December of that year, when we were doing the negotiations, we want to see if you're taking into account the unfunded liabilities and the debt service and see if you're getting the state under control. And when the Democrats passed their budget without Republicans, and that didn't happen. 2 weeks later, GE left. So it's more of a message of where you're going to send the state that's going to stop the outflow, and then you slowly correct it. People got to know you're serious, recognize the problem, and start to treat it. I think Bob Stefanowski knows the problem, and that's why, you know, if you're looking at reduction of taxes, you know, I'd rather have a governor who aspires to getting rid of the income tax versus a governor who's looking to increase taxes in the state of Connecticut.
Now, this is what you just mentioned something, because this is what I get hit with all the time. A lot of people don't think that we can get rid of the income tax. However, why can't we get rid of it? Of course we can.
Look, it is a big number, and we can slowly work on it, I agree that we need to figure out a way. But as I said, I'd rather have a guy up there who's trying to figure out how to get rid of it and having a plan to get rid of it, as opposed to someone who would be in that chair trying to figure out how to get more taxes out of people. Those are two different schools of thought. They result in two different budgets. They result in two different long-term planning. One that says we need to drive more revenue up. Another one says, no, we've got revenue. We got to figure out how we can control our spending, reduce the size of government, think outside the box, and then cut the revenue, i.e. income taxes or sales tax that we have coming into the state and live within our means. Those are two different schools of thought, two different disciplines, fiscal disciplines, and I think Bob Stefanowski's got it right. And that's the track that we have to follow if we want to keep people in this state. Because everywhere you're talking, you know it from all your listeners. People are looking a way to get out. Some can't leave because the market, and the houses from 10 years ago have lost value compared to today. So a lot of folks are underwater or breaking even. They can't even afford to leave because they can't get the equity out of their house to start a new life, if you would. So these are the things that we have to attack in Connecticut. There is a fiscal plan. Infrastructure, we have a plan, no taxes, no tolls. We can do over $70 billion in 30 years for infrastructure. So there's a number of things we can do, but you got to get rid of a guy, Malloy, and not have another guy coming up who says, no, the only way we can accomplish all this stuff is by raising taxes. And that's just not true. We don't need it.
Well, it's talked about. I'll tell you that. I hear it everywhere that I go. And one thing that I wanted to tell you, because you and I talk quite a bit,
yes.
I am getting folks that are on the Democratic side. In fact, I kept track, and I had seven of them. Okay? Seven of them, and they're going to switch their votes. And I said, well, what do you mean? They just said to me, every one of them said, we got to change something. We can't go on like this. And they are afraid. One guy said, I'm afraid. I just can't trust. Hey, what can you tell them?
Well, you know, I think they should. This is not about party loyalty.
No, it's not.
This is about loyalty to the state of Connecticut and your families. The question that you have to ask yourself, Republican, Democrat, Independent, unaffiliate, I don't care what you are. What direction do you want to see the state to be in, to go in, and who's got that vision? I don't care what the label next to the name is. I care about the ideas that you have to vote for. And when you look at it, you have to say, do I want someone who's talking about revenue, more revenue, wherever it sits, however it's defined, more revenue, or do you want someone who's talking about reducing that to make it more affordable to live in the state? And I think you need to look at it, among other things. You got to look at education, thoughts on education, bringing jobs to the area, things of that nature. But the economics, the tax, major things you have to look at, in my view.
Senator, I'm glad that you took the time to give me a call today, because these are the things that I hear all the time. And thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You bet. 14 minutes now.